We're going to be in Romans chapter 10. Again, just thank you for allowing us to be here. Thank you for your sweet spirit. Just been a good spirit in the meeting and just been a blessing. And also, I want to thank those that have made it extra special to us, taking out for dinners, Mrs. Archer. And speaking of which, I'll tell you what, we have eaten so well here this week. Mrs. Archer started off by taking us, forgive me if I call it wrong, but is it the Red House? The Red House. Oh, my. I'm coming back. Go to the Red House. And then that was Thursday. And then Friday, Brother Matt took me down to Athens, the little bulldog country there, and took me to Shane's Barbecue. And boy, I had the biggest barbecue sandwich I ever had in my life. I think it was about an inch thick, and that was great. Then went over to my Uncle Jerry's on Saturday and ate chicken, then went to Carrabba's today for lunch. I told my wife, we're going to have to do some walking when we get home. Work some of this off. But it's truly been a joy, and thank the Lord for it. Romans chapter 10, I'm going to begin reading verse number 13. Romans chapter 10, verse number 13. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for the wonderful missions conference you've given us. Thank you how you've blessed in all of the services. And I thank you for your faithful people, Lord, that have come here tonight, Lord, in the closing of the conference. I just pray that you would just continue to bless and that you would continue to have your will and way in all of our hearts. Oh God, we need to hear from heaven, and we know it only comes from you, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 10, we see here Paul exhorting the Christians in Rome. And we see here that he is encouraging them here in the area of missions. I believe this verse was in your bulletin last week. It may have been this week, I'm not sure. But the idea here is Paul is writing to these believers, and he's talking about reaching the lost. Now, in the context of the interpretation here, he's really targeting Jews, but I know it applies to both, because there in verse 12, he says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him." And so you see here, he's emphasizing reaching the lost. Many of you may remember several years ago, the cell phone company Verizon Wireless trying to promote that they had the best company that had the best reception, cell phone reception. Now, we all know how that is. They all promise you can make calls anywhere. Well, they hadn't driven on the roads of Georgia, have they? Because you don't get reception everywhere. But they made this push, and of course they use that fellow with the black rim glasses, wears the black coat, I'm not sure what his name is, but they used this man to promote, and he often said, you probably already know where I'm going, what does he say? Can you hear me now? He always was saying that because they were trying to pick on the other cell phone company, saying that they never did a good job helping their customers have good reception. Well, the cell phone companies spend billions, I mean billions of dollars, I mean in the area of advertising and all the other areas, and helping their customers hear phone calls. They do everything they can to help their customers have good quality phone calls. And I'm just talking about a telephone call here. And I want us to think about this tonight. How much more should God's children make it a point in helping the lost hear the gospel message. You see, those are just conversations we're talking about on the phone, but I believe when it comes to eternity and eternal souls, I believe we need to do everything we can to help people hear the Word of God. Because if we believe, now get this with me please, because if we truly believe, verse 17, it will change our life tremendously. Because the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. Simply means, folks, and you know this, no one can get saved apart from hearing the Word of God. No one can. So we got to do everything we can as God's children to help them hear the Word of God. If I could give this message a title, it would be simply, Can You Hear Me Now? Can you hear me now? That should be our question to the nations. As we've looked at nations across the world, Tanzania and Togo and Burkina Faso and others around the world, we should be crying out, Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Let me give you three aspects, I believe, of helping the lost hear. Three aspects of helping the lost hear the gospel message. Number one, the first aspect, we simply have the lost. The lost. Look there in verse 14. Paul uses the word they five times in that verse. Five times. He's emphasizing here the lost. He's emphasizing that, listen, these lost will not hear the Word of God unless someone goes. They cannot believe unless they hear. Let me give you three characteristics of the lost that you already know about, but I believe that it will encourage your heart to pay more attention to the need in our world today. The lost. Three characteristics. I want to first see their condition. Their condition. Now, you would agree with me tonight that it's no fun being lost physically. Now, if I were to ask some folks in here tonight if you've ever been lost, every man in this room that drives should raise his hand. Because well, you know how we are on taking those shortcuts and end up taking long cuts. But the fact of the matter is, all of us have sometime been lost, and it's no fun. It's not a good place to be. But that's physically speaking. That's just lost with direction. You know, it doesn't compare to being lost for eternity without Christ. It doesn't even compare. And that's the condition of the world. They're lost without Christ. You know, mankind is born into sin. And naturally, he naturally lives to please himself. There is no good thing in a man's heart as he is born into this world. We are all born wicked. We are all born going our own way. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, very familiar verse, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You know what that means too? No matter how religious one may seem, without Christ he is utterly lost. He can walk in this door every Sunday and every Wednesday night and be baptized and give his tithe and give his faith promise. But if he's never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's lost. You see the condition. Number two, not only do we see their condition, but friend, do we see their cry? Or should I say, do we hear their cry? The Lord was giving me liberty about this message. I've been praying throughout the week, and the Lord just confirmed it. And one of the things He used this morning was the song that was sang in the special about hearing the cry of the lost. Hearing the cry. Every man is longing for peace and fulfillment. You see, I will be the first one to admit tonight, not every man is looking for Jesus, but they're looking for what only Jesus can give. They're looking for peace. They're looking for joy. They're looking for fulfillment. There is a cry coming from the lost that, listen, only Christ, our great Savior, can satisfy. Only the Lord Jesus can do that. Number one, I want us to see, hear their cry on earth. That's right, they're crying on earth. Romans chapter 8, verse 22, let me read that to you. Paul says there, "For we know that the whole creation," now he's talking about the whole creation. He's including the lost here. All the animals, all the everything in earth, okay? Because he's saying here, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now." And then he says, "And not only they, but ourselves also." And then he goes on and talks about how we groan ourselves waiting for the adoption, waiting for the redemption of our body, which is coming for the believer. But one of the things I want to note there is, listen, the lost are crying from the curse of sin. And most of the lost, over half the world, has yet to hear about the only thing that can cure them of this great sin curse. They're groaning and they're travailing because it's only Christ that can help them. You hear their cry on earth. That's right. But let me say this, and I don't want to say this lightly at all, and I don't say this to sound spooky tonight, I really don't, but I really believe that we need to ask God to help us in this area, because to be quite honest with you, it is not a delightful thought at all. But not only do we need to hear their cry on earth, but we need to ask God to help us hear their cry from beneath. Their cry from the flames of hell. Burning as I preach this message tonight, crying out for relief. Luke chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. The Bible says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, this rich man, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he," get it, "cried. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." And I believe that as God is working in our hearts in the area of missions, I honestly believe if we could just ask God to help us to hear their cry, the cry of the lost, I believe it will help us. I believe it will help our soul winning, Brother Matt. I believe it will help our faith promise. I believe it will make a difference in reaching the lost. Just simply asking God to help us to hear their cry. So we see, number one, the lost. I know it's no fun talking about the lost, but we must, because the Bible talks about them. But I like talking about my next point, the next aspect. So not only, number one, do we see the lost, but number two, in our verse, we see the Lamb. Preacher, you said that I might get up here and preach on Mary's little lamb. You got it. I'm going to preach on the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look there in verse 14. It says here, "How then shall they call on Him?" That Him is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, "How shall they believe in Him?" That's the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to see the second aspect is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, this Lamb. Two things I want us to note about this Lamb, our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, He deserves to be made known to all the world. Would you agree with me on that one tonight? He is worthy. The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, have you ever had someone in your life that you just wanted to make known. I don't know, it could be a spouse. I mean, I hope we all want to make our spouses known to a certain degree, thankful for them and whatnot. But it may be a friend, it may be a parent. I'm not sure, but someone in your life that you just wanted to make known because they were special in your life. Well, you know, I have an older brother, and his name is Michael. And when I was a boy, he's 7 years older than I, so when I was a young lad, I was probably 10 years old, and he was 17. So I just thought he was the world. I'm talking, he was a big fella, at least to me anyway, he was probably standing that tall. He was strong, he played football for the high school, and I just thought, quite frankly, he was cool. And I looked up to him, and I want to be honest with you, all my friends in the neighborhood, I always looked forward to telling them about my big brother. I always enjoyed making him known. But you know, Michael, he's special. But I will say this. He can't save people from their sins. He's not the Creator. He's not the Redeemer. He's not Almighty God, because there's only one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus deserves to be made known to all the world because He is worthy. Only the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which can take away the sin of the world. John 1:27, listen to this. John 1:27, He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And then listen to what he says in verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is worthy. He deserves to be made known to all the world. Listen to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Listen to Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Hey, that's our Lord. That's the Lamb of God. He deserves to be made known. That's Him. But not only, number one, does He deserve to be made known, but secondly, He desires to be made known. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy to be made known. He is a holy and righteous God, the only true and wise God. But this true and only wise God desires to be made known. He wants the heathen. He wants the lost. He wants the religious man to know Him. You see, that's our Savior. You know, as the Lord Jesus Christ was being crucified, as He was being ridiculed and scoffed, as He was being spit upon and mocked, He had every sinner on His heart and mind. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ desires for the lost to know Him. As the crown of thorns was penetrated upon His scalp, and the nails were driven through His hand and through His feet, He had you on His mind. He had me, thank God, on His mind. If you're here tonight without Christ, He has you on His mind. He wants you to know Him in all His glory. He desires to be made known. John 3:16. Everyone in here probably could quote it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to 1 John 2:2. And He is the propitiation. That means He satisfied God's wrath for our sins. and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And then 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Get this. "Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." He wills for men to know Him. He desires that they might know His salvation. Hebrews 2:9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned in glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." For every tribal member in Togo, Africa. For every tribal member in Niger, West Africa. For every citizen for America. For every tribal member in person in Tanzania. He desires to know them and for them to know Him. And He tasted death for every man. That's the Lamb, folks. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's what makes missions possible. Amen? We couldn't do it without Him. He is what makes it possible. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see, number one, the lost. We see, number two, our precious Lord and Savior, the Lamb of God. But number three, and lastly tonight, I want us to see the laborers. The laborers. We see the lost. That's those we got to reach. And we see the Lamb, the one that makes it possible. But then we see the laborers. I still hadn't figured it out, Pastor. I still hadn't figured it out. How God, in all His glory, in all His majesty, and His holiness, would see fit to use somebody like me to reach this world with the gospel. Listen, I know my heart. I know how wicked I am without the grace of God. But yet God looks down and says, not only do I want to save you, not only do I desire you, but child, I want you to get involved. I want to allow you to have a part in reaching the world. What a privilege, folks. What an honor. We don't deserve to be used of God. In fact, we all deserve to be in the flames right now. But yet God saves us, and not only does He save us, but He calls us to serve. You see, He calls us all to be laborers. We get to be a part of this thing and making a difference for eternity. You know, as we sang that song, preacher, I couldn't help but just think of the rejoicing that would be going on when we sang, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be." I'm not going to sing that second part because it gets too high. But the fact of the matter is, there will be lots of rejoicing. Because God let us get involved. And we will see the fruit of it one day up in glory. And I'm telling you, we're going to rejoice, brethren. We're going to rejoice. But we see the laborers. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, said unto the disciples in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, "The harvest truly is plenteous." But then, I'm sure with a sad countenance upon our Lord's face said, "But the laborers are few." The laborers. Who are the laborers? That's us, brethren. That's us. We are the laborers. Let me give you two, and I believe now, listen, this is something that I have come up with. This is not necessarily... I can't take you to the Bible that says write this in a verse, but I believe there are two categories of laborers. Okay? Now, in the essence, we are all called to reach the lost. We're all called, we're all sent by God. We see that in the Great Commission to reach the lost. But I believe there are two categories tonight that all of God's laborers fall in. Let me give you the first one, and that is get this, it's right in our passage. There is the sent ones. The sent ones. Look there in your verse of verse 14. He says in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And get this, how shall they hear without a preacher? A preacher, a proclaimer of the gospel. You know, I believe there are two types, again, of laborers. You have your sent ones, and then you also have your senders. Now, before I get into the senders, let me touch a little bit here on the sent ones. All of God's children are sent to spread the good news of the gospel. We're all called to do that. But listen, God, get this is very important. God does come down upon congregations like this one at Crooked Creek Baptist Church and will call specific ones to go to a specific place. Now, listen, I'll say this. If you are called, it doesn't make you any more special to the one that's not called. Okay? Because God is no respecter of persons. But the fact of the matter is, He will and He has been. Because I've talked to Pastor Miles, and there's been people surrendering left and right to go to the mission field and praising God for it. But listen to this. 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Some of you have already surrendered, but listen, can I tell you, there are some of you, some other ones of you, that God is going to call into His work. That's right. And let me tell you something, if I can be any comfort to you, it is nothing to be afraid of. Because God will be with you. Listen to Acts chapter 13, verse 2. Would you go there with me, please? I just would like to hear the Bible pages turning. Acts chapter 13, we'll just start reading verse number 2. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. The Word of God says here, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost," that's God, "said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." That's where we get our word, "have you been called," okay? That's a biblical word. And then it says here in verse 3, "And when they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away, so they," here we go, "being sent forth by the Holy Ghost." You see what happens there? The Holy Spirit of God will come upon a congregation like this one, Brother Aaron. And just like one day when we were sitting in a pew, and God, the Holy Spirit, came down upon us and said, "I want you to go. I want you to go." And He might just be doing that tonight. You might be sitting here in this auditorium. You might be scared to death thinking, "What in the world is going on?" You know, I talked to my pastor, Pastor Dietrich, just a few days ago, and he was preaching this summer up in Pennsylvania, Pastor. He said that he was preaching on missions, and he got to the end and gave the invitation, and he said a 45-year-old man came forward, had a beautiful family, came forward and said, "I just can't take it anymore. I've been trying to shake this thing for too long. It's burning in my heart. God's calling me to preach." You see, God's not limited by age. You say, "I'm too old," or you might be sitting in here this morning, young person, saying, "I'm too young." Oh, no. If you've been born again and a child of God, God can work in your life in an amazing way. And He can call you forth to His work. God's still calling. My good friend, Matt Northcutt, he surrendered to go to the mission field. God called him when he was 12 years old. He didn't know where he was going. But from the age of 12, he stayed faithful. And he went to Bible college, and as I preach this message, he and his wife and young son are in Russia reaching the people of Arctic Siberia. A young man that God looked down and said, "I want to use you. There may be a young lady in here, a young couple, a middle-aged couple, saying, 'God, I want you to go forth.'" And all you got to do is say, "Yes, Lord. Yes. Here am I. Send me." It doesn't matter if you don't know all the details. All that matters is that you answer the call. And you say, "Well, how do you know when I'm called?" That's a good question. I get that all over the place. Well, listen, the same God that knocked on your door for salvation can knock on your door for service. He's totally capable of making it just as clear. That day you got under Holy Spirit conviction and you knew you needed to be saved, that same Holy Spirit will knock on your door saying, "I want you. I want to send you forth." And then you just say, "Yes, Lord. Yes." So, not only do we see here the sent ones, but I want us to see also the senders. Look there at the senders. Look there in verse 15. "And how shall they preach except they be sent?" That's sent. You know who the senders are? You got the sent ones, those are sent forth, and then you got the senders. And can I say tonight, that is most of you. And praise God, let me say this with just as dogmatic as I can. The senders are just as important as the sent ones. We're a team, amen? One can't function without the other. And don't ever get down and think that you're unspiritual because you're not personally going across the seas. Because, hey, the same rewards will abound to your account that abound to my account. We're a team. You see, it's important. The home front is important. The senders are those who will keep the home front strong and will send forth needed support for battle. That's who the senders are. Can I say this? The Christian who is called to stay, now I believe you need to be called to stay. If you're not called to go, you're called to stay. It says, if you are called to stay, you can do as much for worldwide missions as those that are on the foreign field. Both positions are totally necessary. Pastor, take our military, for example. We would not have the world's strongest and most powerful military without American taxpayers. Can I get a hearty amen? We pay taxes, and we've paid taxes for years. And because of that, we have a multi-billion dollar military. And they can function, and they can protect us, and they can get the job done, and they give us the freedom we have. Well, listen, that's what the local church is to do. The senders send forth the message that can free a lost soul from eternity in hell. You see, the senders are important. Our brother, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but let me read this verse to you. You don't have to turn there. Dr. Wade read it this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verse 16. This is what Paul, a great missionary, said. He said, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again," get it, "unto my necessity." Paul was simply confessing, "I needed you. I needed you." Paul said, "I couldn't do the work I'm doing without you, church." So don't get down, sender. Keep being faithful. Dig your heels in and let God keep using what you're doing. And you will be blessed beyond imagination. Guaranteed. It's in the book. It's in the Word of God. So we see here, number one, the lost. We saw the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And then thirdly, we saw the laborers, which are the sent ones and the senders. Can I ask you tonight, what category are you in? Do you know for sure you're a sender? Are you supposed to be here, or is God the Holy Spirit brewing over you, wanting to send you forth? You see, we're going to help the lost here, but we got to get them the Word of God. And because of your commitment this week, they will hear. And because of your commitment last year, millions, yes, that's right, millions will hear of that wonderful saving message, the gospel. Heads bowed, eyes closed, please. I'm going to ask a few questions here. You've listened so well, and I appreciate that so much. I appreciate it so much. But I'm going to ask this question tonight. You say, Brother Brinson, I have never in my life surrendered myself completely to God to do whatever He wants with my life. You say, I've never done that. I'm saved. I know it. I know I'm going to heaven, but yet I've never totally said, Lord, I don't know how You could use somebody like me, but I have never surrendered my life. You say, tonight I believe I need to do that. Would you just show me by an uplifted hand? You say, I've never... Thank you, young man, up here toward the front. Thank you, God. You say, I've never surrendered my life to the Lord to do anything. I see your hand. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anyone else? You say, thank you. God bless you, young man. You say, I've never surrendered my life, but I know I need to do that tonight. Would you just show me? I want to pray for you. I don't want to call you out. I just want to pray for you. Okay? Let me ask you this. You say, I've surrendered, and I believe God's calling me to His work tonight. I don't know all the details, but I believe God the Holy Spirit is seeking to call me forth into His work. I don't know whether it's a pastor, pastor's wife, missionary, youth pastor, but God is dealing with me about service. Would you show me by lifting your hand? God bless you, young man. Young lady up here in the front, pastor helping me look at hands here. Anybody else? You say, thank you, young lady up here in the middle aisle. Young man back in the back. You say, tonight God is dealing with me about service. Young lady over here, thank you so much for raising your hand. You say, God is dealing with me about full-time Christian service. Thank you for raising your hand and being honest. All right, now my next question is this. You may be here tonight, and quite frankly, you're a good church member. Maybe you're visiting. I don't know. Maybe you've been faithful to this church. Maybe you've been a member. Maybe you've been faithful in tithing. But yet you know tonight that your heart is empty and without Christ. And you know that you've never really truly relied on the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. And God is dealing with you tonight about being saved. You say, God is dealing with me tonight about being saved. Would you raise your hand so I can see and pray for you? Don't raise your hand unless you know God's dealing with you about coming forward and being saved. Anybody like that? Thank you so much. Would you stand with me, please? Just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed, please. As the invitational song begins to play, allow God to work in your heart. Those of you that raised your hand, those of you that raised your hand and said, I'm surrendering tonight to full-time Christian service, come on forward. Those of you that said tonight, I've never surrendered my life to the Lord, I need to do that tonight. Why don't you come forward? The pastor's here to talk to you. God bless you. God bless you. People are coming forward. Christians are praying. Listen, God's doing a work, folks. This is spiritual warfare going on.